Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show. My name is Nate Bucati. If you're watching us for the first time ever, I don't know how you'll see the screen. I guess to my left here is Allie Trost, and below me is Carter Augustine, and we're all practicing our social distancing while teleconferencing and connecting with one another, and we're doing the show from our own places now, which also means, guys, that we've set up our own makeshift studios. I can see that everyone has taken the time to at least have some sort of decorations up for the show. I decided to set up a little table in front of my scarf wall in the basement. As you can see, I don't know if you guys are interested, but on this side, you've got, I'll keep away from the KU stuff. There you go. You got the all my sporting scarves over the years. And then this way, all the other ones we've got here. So
very nice.
I try to give it a soccer backdrop here at the Bucati household down in the basement while my children are upstairs watching YouTube and playing video games. Carter, I see that you've got yourself a USA soccer ball behind you, a Swope Park
Old Rangers trusty.
Ball.
Yep.
What else you got? A Truce? Is that a Truce soccer ball?
Yep, got the Truce. Well go. Spotted.
Nice.
Is that a Tigre scarf there right next to you too?
It is, man. You're on top of it. Yeah, I've got a few here.
Let's go.
I got a little.
Yep, there we go.
Very nice. Yeah,
did you just?
I ran out of time.
Yeah, I just lost my ears there.
Is that a scarf wall up above you?
It is.
Can you tilt the thing back so we can see it, or without yanking your head?
I'm experiencing some technical difficulties.
Here we go. All you have to do is tilt it. You don't have to raise the whole thing up, right? If you just tilt it back. Look at that scarf wall there. Looking good. Looking good.
There you go.
Beautiful.
And now
I have like the saddest scarf wall ever. I've got one scarf and I ran out of time. I meant to hang up my U.S. Women's National Team signed jersey. So I've got some sports books over here in the corner that I plan actually to read. I stole them from Tom. All my books are at my parents' house. So I'm going to try to do some reading while we're here throughout the first pitch at T-Bones. They had a college D1 softball tournament going on and they asked me to throw out the first pitch, which is hilarious because if you know me, my hand-eye coordination is absolutely terrible. So got to do that little commemorative piece of gear from that, and yeah, my one sad Sporting KC scarf. So that's what we got.
I like that. It's great though because let's be honest, you know, the two males on the show here probably have horrifically decorated places overall. I'm not gonna speak for Carter, but at least for me,
it's pretty bad. Yeah, no,
you've got the very nice lamp there, very nice looking couch, you know, organized stand next to the couch. And then
I got like some like greenery, like some fake plants in the background. Like this
very
is
nice.
Just.
But then you got
call
the
me
ones.
Joanna Gaines. Call me. I'll join the show.
You put up that sporting scarf 10 minutes before we took the air. That's the truth.
Oh, of course. Are you kidding? Hey. I don't like hang. It's funny. I love sports, but I do not hang up like any sports kind of like gear or anything like that. I've never done that really. Even when I was little, I had like my shadow box with my women's national team jersey. Tom, on the other hand, has like a museum of just like all things sports. So yeah, this was like my last minute thing. I'm going to bulk it up next week. It's going to be even better. Just
I appreciate the effort. It's good. We got some good stuff going here. So coming up on the show, we actually have a really, really interesting chat with Roger Espinoza. I'll go ahead and let you know that we recorded that before we did this segment of the show, that we're kind of going back into the first segment first. But we're going to play for you a great video conference we did with Roger Espinoza. We're going to talk with him about what the team's going through right now, what he's going through personally, how this has affected them as a team, how he's staying in shape, all of that. But then we're also going to spend a long form segment talking about the 2013 FA Cup championship that he won with Wigan. What a moment in history that was, really, in the world of soccer. And he was a huge part of it, played 90 minutes in that game, played in a lot of the games in that FA Cup run. And I haven't really heard him talk much about that. So we're going to do that with Roger Espinoza coming up. And Carter, you've got the Honduras jersey on that I didn't notice till about halfway through our interview with Roger. Spot on there. Is there a story behind this? Yeah. Did you
I actually don't remember how I got this, acquired this shirt. I've been to a few USA Honduras games, most of which are a little blurry in my mind, but a lot of good memories. My first ever USA game was actually USA Honduras at Soldier Field in Chicago in 2009, going to qualify for the 2010 World Cup. And man, that is an indelible moment in my life. I loved soccer up until that point, but honestly, me and my buddies went. We stayed in a hotel. You know, we had some beers. We got to take the L to the game and ran into a couple Honduran guys that were unbelievable, and got a picture with them. I mean, we talked for a long time. It was just a wonderful experience. One guy had a Jerry curl that reminded me of like Roberto Baggio. It was incredible, nice. Incredible lettuce. And yeah, and then we would go to the game, and it was 75% Honduras fans. I mean, this is just 2009, mind you. And wow. We were in the upper deck, and the whole upper deck at Soldier Field was Honduras fans. And they scored in the 5th minute. Carlo Costa, I remember, to go up, and the place went absolutely insane. And U.S. fans were in the minority. It was an incredible experience. Came back and won, Landon Donovan and Carlos Bocanegra. But that's my favorite.
So Carter went and actually bought that jersey at halftime because he was like, I can't be caught rooting for the other team here.
Oh man, I think we did a jersey swap, maybe. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or I was drunk and bought one of the $5 cheap jerseys in the parking lot. I can't remember.
Hey,
just wanted to give Roger a shout out.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, he's going to appreciate that. We know that. Real quick, guys, before we take a break and get into the Roger interview, and we want to have as much time for that as possible. Because, and by the way, those of you listening on Sports Radio 810 WHB, you might hear an abbreviated version of the interview. If you want to hear the entire in-depth thing, you can go to the podcast page at 810WHB.com or on the 810 app or anywhere else that you get your podcasts. You can ask Alexa to play it for you. And, of course, now you can watch our pretty faces on video as well and our wonderful scarf walls and decorations that we have. We obviously gone all out for you to bring you the best video viewing enjoyment you can have. But real quick, guys, a quick temperature check on you guys, metaphorically speaking. But it's been a couple weeks now without any live sports or specifically for our purposes here, soccer. How are you guys holding up, Carter? I mean, you know, you're doing the social isolation thing like the rest of us. How's it been for you so far?
Yeah, it's been all right. I've been keeping myself busy. Definitely, I'm okay being by myself, so that part hasn't been too difficult. And but missing the sports is this thing would be a lot easier with sports, right? So I think it's obviously very small on the scale of important things, but it's definitely been. It's definitely been weird, I'm sure, just for you guys. What about you, Alex?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm totally cool being, like, by myself, total homebody. So for me, it's been, you know, I went through that kind of adjustment phase of being home more often than usual. But now that I've got a little at-home work setup going on, really enjoying that. Once I run out of, like, things to do on my to-do list, like, you know, updating my reel, things that you always push to the bottom of the list, then I'm going to maybe start itching for, you know, more things to do. But missing sports is definitely number one. I think, you know, just a constant reminder of even seeing replays of like NCAA tournament games, replays. I know that like, we've had some old Sporting Kansas City games get, you know, played on Fox Sports Kansas City. And even on Sports Radio 810, playing a lot of, you know, memorable games has kind of made me realize, like, I'm ready for some new games. I don't want to, you know, constantly be living in the past. Like, definitely want, you know, those to come back. But again, like you said, Carter, it's for the greater good and, you know, hope flattening this curve and getting people healthy, staying safe is number one. So still ask me next week how I'm feeling. We might get a different answer. But seriously. Nate, how are you feeling?
Well, we will ask you next week because we're going to keep doing this show.
Yes.
For, you know, this whole time, whatever it takes, because people want content. Like you said, Carter, that's one of the weird things about this phenomenon that we're dealing with right now. For example, people in my space that, you know, having three kids, all of a sudden work schedules get disrupted. Kids don't get to go to school. The first place we would usually rely on help would be our parents, you know, the grandparents of our kids. We can't take our kids to see them right now. We have to keep our kids away from them. So that's one thing that's weird. And then the other thing is when we're shut inside sometimes, if it's bad weather, natural disasters, things like that, what's one of the first things we do is, hey, let's watch a ball game. Let's take our mind off it. Let's watch sports. It's like the great unifier and the great distraction for us. And it was like the first thing that was taken away from us in this situation. And I've got to remember to keep my email off on this. So while we're doing this, by the way, guys, we're learning. I'm silencing my email now. Sorry about that alert right there. So those things are just different. When you ask me how I'm doing, I am not like you guys. I am not a homebody. As you know, I don't shut up. I don't like to be shut in. I thrive on human interaction. I'm getting a lot of human interaction with my three children right now, which is, I'd like some interaction with other people at this point. So we'll see. They're great kids, and we're making the most of it, but you know, we're all cooped up in the same house trying to make the most of it right now. I don't believe you, by the way, Allie, that you're a homebody and an introvert, by the way.
No, I'm introvert and extrovert. Like, I love going out, doing things. I'm with you, like, human interaction is important for my everyday life, but I also do enjoy, like, my personal space. And I think for me, having, like, finally gotten that set up over the weekend, again, it's only been now, like, what is today, Tuesday? I got this set up on, like, Sunday. So mm-hmm. It's been, like, 2 or 3 days of enjoying it. Half of the week last week, I was actually in the station. So just enjoying for the time being. And I can't wait to, like, go to a restaurant again. I know it's, like, such a small thing. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking about that recently. I was like, wow, how weird not to be able to just go out to eat. Like, yeah. Just a common thing that everyone does. And just, you know, getting back to normal will be nice when that happens. But for right now, trying to take the time and, you know, focus on things that you can only really focus on when you are literally in isolation. So,
yeah.
And well, this goes back to what Allie said, check in a couple weeks and we'll see. And unfortunately, you know, people need
content. We also don't have kids either, Carter.
Yeah, so. That's
important. I think it would be a little there. Different.
Yeah. I think importantly as well, right? People need content to get through, but this thing could get a little more serious. We're starting to, you know, see some sad reports, and I know it's touched the soccer world a lot. I think I saw a former president of Real Madrid contracted the COVID and passed away. And hopefully, you know, everyone out there is safe. And I think what Allie just said, going to a restaurant, I'm thinking of, like, all the ripple effects on everyone throughout in the entire country, the people that work at restaurants and all that. And hopefully we could talk a little soccer and take some mind off what could get pretty serious. It already is pretty dang serious, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah, but it probably hasn't really hit here in Kansas City as much as what they're saying it's going to. So we gotta hunker down, but at the same time, people need a little distraction every once in a while, a little mm-hmm. uplift, and that's what we're going to do. And the good thing is we've got an organization, a club here in Kansas City, loaded with guys who have done amazing things and have amazing stories to tell. Some of them maybe you've heard a little bit of before, some of them you haven't, but we're going to not run out of stuff to talk about with all these guys. And I'm just here to tell you, you're going to hear this interview we've done with Roger Espinoza next. And you're going to hear stuff that he'll tell you about the FA Cup you've never heard before. Stories that he said he's never really been asked about before because he's done so many other things in his career that you're really going to want to hear it. You're going to enjoy it. And we're going to take some of these deep dives to things that we haven't had time to do in the past because it's a game next week. There was that immediacy at all times of the Sporting Kansas City show was about what was going on at that point in time. And so this gives us an opportunity to take a breath and really take a look back at some of the incredible characters we have around us. So it's going to be a lot of fun to hear from Roger Espinoza here in a minute. You're going to want to hear that interview. But guys, before we do that, Carter, you came up with an idea. We're going to ask Roger about this as well. And I love this. We're all trying to kill time at home right now. We're looking for some stuff online, maybe videos, some sports to consume. So tell me about this idea. And we're just going to have to come up with one or two examples here before we take a break and go to Roger.
It's going to be great hearing from Roger on this and hopefully a few more people down the line. Apologies to Allie for not stepping up to the plate and some of the challenges she sent over to me. I guess it's another
I'm
one
so
of
I'm so annoying in
I'm not
there's
good at
two types of people in the world. There's the type of person that cannot wait to join every social media challenge, and then there's the person that not wanting to be a part of every social media challenge. And I'm somewhere in the middle of those two. And I like the enthusiasm, yeah. Allie. I like it. She's you got a challenge for
it's
her.
Fine.
She's in.
I'm down. Let's do it. Except I've got a running list now of some that I have yet to do. So maybe I'll do that tonight.
There you go. Yeah. I like the enthusiasm as well. You know, good in other people. Well, oftentimes I don't have the same. I have the same enthusiasm, but I'm enjoying what everyone else is putting out there in the world. And, you know, like you said, Nate, we're here at home trying to spend some time, and YouTube wormholes. I think we talked about this on last week's podcast, but they can be a beautiful thing. But as soccer fans, right, what's better than a goal highlight? And I'm curious just to get some people's perspectives, and we can just start building a big list of can turn into a YouTube wormhole for you to go through history and look at some incredible goals. So goals to Google, basically just going to ask, you know, what's a goal that you would tell someone to Google, and why is it so significant to you?
So Allie, you want to go first on this?
Yeah, I'll go first. So, you know, unfortunately, and hopefully I'll have this for next week, but I was trying, couldn't find my high school highlights. So sorry, guys. I know a lot of you are dying to see those. But I was trying to find some highlights of my great uncle Al Trost and his time playing professional. It was quite a bit of time ago, so I wasn't able to find anything yet. But that is my homework assignment for next week, is to try to find some for you guys to look up some of his goals or best moments. But one goal to Google that I found, Peter Vermees, the manager of Sporting Kansas City, had an amazing goal, U.S. men's national team against Costa Rica. It was July of 91, the CONCACAF Gold Cup. He opened the scoring in the 6th minute. Beautiful head ball goal. He patiently waits behind the defender, sees the cross coming, creates distance, and then just with so much power, knocks it in. And the men's national team ended up trailing that game and then eventually came back and won it 3-2. So Vermees' goal ended up being very important in that game, and it was a good one. So just Google U.S. men's national team versus Costa Rica, again, July of 1991, CONCACAF Gold Cup, and you will see manager Peter Vermees, who, it's the quality is not great, but he looks the exact same. So look it up. You'll enjoy it.
That's good. Okay, so for me, I came up with a couple, but I'm only going to give you one this week, because I figure this is something, like you said, Carter, we can keep doing as time goes on. For me, this was a goal in the 1998 World Cup. France versus Croatia in the semifinals. France versus Croatia kind of rings a bell, doesn't it? Yeah. And that was for me personally, because I'd never traveled abroad in my life. In 1998 was the summer of, I had just graduated college. And for spring break my senior year, I went to Paris, France to visit a gal that I was dating at the time. And everything was World Cup everything. You know, leading up, it was a couple months before the World Cup. So I kind of adopted France as a team to cheer for in that World Cup. And so I watched all their games, and Lilian Thuram scored 2 goals in that semifinal to have a come from behind win, because Croatia scored first. They got a 2-1 win. And in the 70th minute, he scored a goal with his left foot that he curled inside the far post on a good build-up play down the right side. And it's not one of the best goals you'll ever see in your life, but the moment was so massive because that was on French soil. You know, they would go on to win the World Cup in their home country. It was such a special thing. But it was the image of that World Cup that always stood in my head, because he scored the goal, and when he went to take the shot with his left foot, he was outside the penalty area. He dropped to his knees, and he just went like this from on his knees, like he was stunned at his own strike, and his whole team came and gathered around him. And that was the image of the 1998. Everybody remembers Zinedine Zidane and how amazing he was in that World Cup. But for me, I didn't know who Lilian Thuram was, to be honest with you, before that. I just graduated college. So look up Lilian Thuram, scored a brace in the semifinals of the 1998 World Cup.
What's a great fact about that, Nate, too, is he's a defender, played 142 games for France. Incredible player.
Yeah.
Wow.
2 goals.
Yep.
Wow.
2 goals in the 142 games for France.
And it won them the semifinal on their home soil. How about that? That's right. Yeah, all right. What about you, Carter? Awesome.
Yeah, for me, like you said, Nate, tough to just grab just one, but hopefully we can keep this going. And we're talking with Roger Espinosa about an FA Cup final today. So I wanted to talk about a goal from an FA Cup final. My favorite player, Steven Gerrard. They call it the Gerrard final. And in England, it's like an ultimate honor to have an FA Cup final named after you. There's only a handful of them throughout the very long history of the FA Cup final. And it was Liverpool-West Ham in 2006. Gerrard wound up having two goals and an assist in a 3-3 game that they wound up winning on penalties. And they went down 2-0, I believe. And then he gets the assist on the first goal. The second goal is a wonderful goal as well, a knockdown in the box that he hammers into the corner. But the third goal, down 3-2, it's the 90th minute. You literally hear the PA announcer in the stadium go, 4 minutes of added time as the ball is crossed in. It gets knocked back to about 36 yards, 37 yards out. You can tell by the cut of the grass. And on a couple bounces, he just absolutely smacks it. It's on a frozen rope past Shaka Hislop, who does a lot of media here in the U.S. You know, he's playing in goal that day for West Ham. I'm curious to see I don't think I've ever seen his remarks about it, because it was from a long way out, but I think he got shielded by a couple guys and he just absolutely hits it. And the call is famous because I think it's Martin Tyler talking about the same thing. You hear the PA announcer, 4 minutes at a time. And right as he does it, he hits it. Martin Tyler goes nuts. And it's just an incredible equalizing goal. And they wound up winning the cup final, and one of my favorite goals of all time.
All right, so Stevie G, no, they should have named the FA Cup of 2013 after Roger Espinosa. We can do that at least on our show. We're going to talk about that with Roger Espinosa, but we're going to share those goals to Google. We'll make it a hashtag. When we tweet out this podcast and everything, we'll put it out there. Maybe we can each put our links up to the goals that we're talking about so people can look at them. And then if people want to, you know, hit us up with some as well, we might share some on the next edition of the show.
Yeah. All right, let's see what everyone has.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's have some fun here. I don't know about the Stevie G one and the Peter Vermees one. I've probably seen, but it'll make me go back and look at it. So let's have some fun with this. We're going to take a break, though. When we come back, Roger Espinosa is going to join us. He'll maybe talk about some. We'll get his goals to Google, but also we're going to relive that 2013 FA Cup. This is the Sporting Kansas City Show. Back after this. And we continue with the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB, and wherever you get your podcasts, and apparently now wherever you get your video, too. We'll talk more about that as the show goes on, but we are joined by our special guest on the show now. Of course, we've got Ali Trost, Carter Augustine with us, and now Roger Espinosa joining us from, looks like a concrete pillar behind you.
this is where I live, my home.
This is your home. A very minimalist, yes, huh, Roger? How you doing?
Need much. I'm good. Just a little in quarantine here, but it's not too bad, you know?
So you told us before we started that you just got done working out. So what is the routine like for you, for players now? How are you guys staying in shape during this whole shutdown situation?
You know, thankfully the city still allows you to go outside and run. So, that's pretty much what I do. I, you know, just set up my Garmin just to take me to the streets pretty much. I set it up for 3 or 4 miles, 5 miles, whatever you want. And then it kind of gives you a little GPS of where to go. And that's pretty much what I do. The majority of the workout I do here in my concrete jungle. had some stuff already that I work out pretty much. You know, the good thing is that Joey, our performance coach, gave us a lot of core works out that you can do at home, and that keeps you a little bit, you know, you can do your correct, as we call it, and keep your core strength still going, and your cardio, you can go out on the streets and do that. So that keeps us a little bit in shape, and hopefully, you know, it's not much that we have stayed longer at our place and we're able to go get back to soccer.
Shout out to
Roger.
Joey.
We talked
with gave me a nice exercise for my lower back. I had some old man problems earlier this year. So shout out to Joey for helping me with that.
Yeah, thankfully my lower back, you know, last year I had a bunch of, knock on wood, you know, this year has been pretty good. And I think it has to do a lot with all that, you know, correctives and get all that stuff done before training and throughout the off season and in preseason. And, you know, thankfully it's gone for me so far.
Roger, what's been the biggest challenge with trying to stay fit while having to stay inside and not being able to really go anywhere? Has it been hard to maintain a routine?
Absolutely. You know, it's just because, you know, cardio is one thing, but, you know, play and stop and run and cutting, that so comes with playing and competing against your teammates. So that's something we're going to have to see when we get back. It's difficult, but hey, we still, you know, we were definitely in very good shape at the beginning of the season, and hopefully that's still maintaining right now. But again, you won't know until you get back and you are playing again.
So take us more into this running on the streets thing. I mean, are we taking our shirt off so all the people can, you know, check us out and see the soccer bod? Are you running the streets? Are you going to parks? Like, what kind of a run are we talking about here?
Yeah, so yesterday, pretty much, I live in Westport, so I took up here and ran pretty much all the way to Crossroads. That was about close to 5 miles there and back. But yeah, no taking my shirt off. It's pretty cold out there.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we don't get to that point. But yeah, I mean, it's good. It's a good sweat. I still feel in very good shape. Did as fast as I could. You know, try to sort it out, but it was definitely a good workout for me.
Raj, take us back to when this news kind of went down. You guys, I think it was a Thursday. You guys were still in training, and actually were in training for that Atlanta game when the news broke. Take me through kind of finding out and what that was all like for you guys.
Yeah, we technically had heard that this is a possibility. We knew that the San Jose game had been canceled, so we knew that was a matter of time until something was going to be said and it was going to be canceled. We did not think the Atlanta game was going to be canceled, so we went out there and practiced our normal way, and we were just pretty much getting ready for that game, and we were concentrated and ready. I mean, we started the season in that way, and you know, we didn't really pay much attention in what was said behind in the background. So we were ready for that game. After practice, it was brought to our attention from Peter, the doctors, and some of the staff that, you know, it all has been postponed to a later date. But we were okay with it. We were okay with it just because we knew that, hey, you know, it's something that we needed to address, and we knew that that it was health before anything.
And Roger, while it might be, you know, a very difficult time for a lot of people staying inside, trying to adjust to this new way of life, one group that's really benefiting from this is pets everywhere. And you have an English bulldog, Chulo. What's his reaction been like to having you home more?
Yeah, I don't know. This guy barks so much. Now that I'm staying at home, he's barking all the time. I'm like, okay, this is what you do when I'm not home. Anything that moves, I think because it's so quiet, and, you know, I live in Westport, it's a little bit louder in this area. It's everything, all the buildings are next to each other. So you can't really hear much. But now that everybody's gone, it's all these noises and he's barking at everything. But he's definitely confused on why am I home so much. But it's great to be home and hang out with him and go on long walks, trying to get him in shape. And by the way, it's his birthday today, so he's turning 11 today.
Happy birthday, Chola! Yeah,
11.
So some Instagram posts are coming. Yeah.
Oh yes.
He's 11 today. I got in my second year at the Wizards at the time. He's definitely loving me being home. Usually, in the past few years, I've been traveling when it's his birthday. So hey, we get to celebrate it today.
You know, there have been these little positives like that. I mean, obviously, this so much has been negative about this whole situation. But I think all of us have found ourselves enjoying our home space a little bit more and finding a way to get the most out of it. Whether it's, for me, it's the kids. I'm spending a lot more time with them right now, finding different creative ways to entertain them with you and Chulo, you know, you guys are spending more time together. He's not a runner, though, right? At 11 years old, you can't take him out on a five-mile run, can you?
Not at all. Not at all. The most we can make is about two blocks, and he wants to walk back. Now he's kind of stopped and wants to come back. Marks territory a few times, and he's back.
You know,
Roger, I did see – oh, sorry, Nate. I did see on social media, though, you've been doing a lot of these different stay-at-home challenges. You did the push-up one recently, and Chulo was licking your elbows. Is he doing any challenges himself?
No, he's challenged sleep all day. I think he's benefiting the most from anybody. I think, you know, he's getting treats all the time and just going to sleep. But, yeah, the challenges. I mean, I'm telling you, I don't want to do any more, but it's a lot of friends giving me crap about it. So now when I get a challenge, I don't tag anybody to keep it going, because if I challenge those people, they're gonna come back to me with the challenge. So now I kind of slow it down. I mean, I'm already tired of doing all them.
It's good advice.
Yeah.
I need to do the same thing. I'm way behind.
It's so many. But it's great that you know, everybody has a good spirit. You know, everybody knows that it's necessary to do this to get the not just Kansas City, but the entire world back into it.
Yeah, I think that's Carter. That's your philosophy, isn't it? You know, you're not, you're going to accept the challenge, but not necessarily pass it down. Have I noticed that?
I think, yeah, you're probably right.
I apologize for tagging both of you.
Allie is up for every challenge, by the way.
She's all over it.
Take every challenge, you know, that comes her way, and I'm somewhere in the middle. But I will say this, like, the longer this thing goes on, I think I'm going to be begging for challenges and other just stupid things to do to occupy my time. So we got a lot of time in front of us. We got Roger Espinoza here, and to go back to what Carter was talking about when this whole thing came down, Roger, I think it's the kind of thing that you're going to be asked about for the rest of your life. When this moment in time is brought back up, I think the sports world was at the epicenter of everything. I think for a lot of Americans, a lot of people in the world, I think the first time they maybe really realized how serious this situation was when the sports world started first playing games behind closed doors. We saw that in Europe with a lot of soccer games. And then it was a matter of days before NBA cancels things, NCAA tournament gets canceled. Because sports is where large gatherings happen, right? And so it was like that was like the start of it in a lot of weird ways. I think the sports world was on the cutting edge of everything that was happening here. And I'm just curious, like, for you emotionally, what was that like? I mean, were you trying to not pay attention to it all? Were you wrapped up in it, or like, when did it kind of hit you that, oh man, this thing is really serious?
From the beginning, I mean, we were in preseason and we knew that you know, we took all the precautions. We had people get sick, but luckily enough, you know, it wasn't anything that had to do with the virus. And I think in the staff and the media, I think a few people got sick. So, you know, we were definitely cautious about everything that was going on, and we knew that it was coming. I mean, we were all careful. We were all taking all the procedures, you know, washing our hands, making sure we were not next to our teammates, isolating teammates when they got sick. And then we got to Vancouver and we even took all the precautions on the flights, and we knew it was coming. We were paying attention. And then all of a sudden, a couple of weeks into it, we knew that it was a big deal. It was happening in Italy. Some other countries already stopped. Spain was already asking to stop. So we were definitely, you know, trying to concentrate in soccer, but at the same time, you know, paying attention to make sure that everybody here in our team and that was around us, our fans and media, that everything was okay. And once we saw that, you know, we were all in danger, that it was the time for us to stop. By the way, Carter, nice jersey. I didn't see your jersey.
Right? Yeah. You know what? Hey. When I saw the stripes at first, I couldn't see the logo. I wondered if it was a Rayados shirt. And now you can see the Honduras, baby. Nice. Nice.
But yeah, I'm glad, you know, that we were able to take the right measurements at the right time.
I know one thing, Nate was talking about things that have kind of popped up since we've all been at home. I know my group chat has been just exploding. I'm wondering if the team group chat, if there's some shenanigans going on, what are you guys doing to stay in contact with each other?
I mean, yeah, we have enough guys that get that going and keep everybody in good spirits. I mean, I don't even need to mention a couple of them. You guys already know. You guys can give me two names, and I'll agree with you guys that, yeah, definitely those guys are getting the group going. It's good spirit. I mean, in these times, you need that. And good that we all are in the world of sports, and we all have colleagues all over the country and your teams here in Kansas City. And it's awesome to see what the things that guys come up with. It's a lot of smart guys can come out of this.
So Johnny
okay,
Russell.
Give us the names for people who might not know who you're talking about.
Just
who are you talking about?
I'll give you one name, and you guys already know what that name is. Russell is one of the guys keeping the team spirit really great. So I'm absolutely glad that we have guys like him on the team.
You know, Roger, this obviously goes way down the list. I mean, way, way down the list in terms of the most important things when we're dealing with something this serious. But you guys were flying, man. Like, you know what? We were setting records for TV ratings. You guys were scoring goals. The team was looking good. That stinks, doesn't it? I mean, and you guys are going to have to try to get that momentum back whenever this thing gets restarted.
Absolutely. You know, it's a tough situation because we were all ready. From the minute the season ended last year, we knew that, hey, we had to prepare if we wanted to compete this year and be in the top teams in the league, that, hey, something has to change either, you know. And we didn't look that outside the club. We looked at ourselves and said, hey, you know, it's me. You know, everybody went individually and looked in the self and said, hey, I have to be better next season. I had to come back ready in preseason. And that's what everybody did. And we started the season that way because everybody came to preseason with the mentality that, hey, I'm going to do my job and I'm going to be a team first guy. And we all did that, and this came down right now, but hey, everybody still proved that, hey, if we work together and we are mentally there, we can achieve great things. And the great thing, hey, it's not just us. It's everybody in the league in the same boat. So at the same time, there's no excuse for us to come back whenever this break is done. Let's call it that way. I mean, whenever all the situation is done and we're back, hey, we're all start at the same time. The only thing you control right now, it's how you prepare when we're back.
All right, so Roger, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I thought we'd have some fun, since there's no games to talk about this past week, reliving one of the biggest moments of Roger's career. Plus, Carter came up with a nice fun idea for things we can do on Google to kill our time, and Roger's going to help us with that as well. So that's right after this on the Sporting Kansas City Show. All right, we're back with Roger Espinoza. We've moved spots on the screen if you're watching us on video now. But I've got Ali Trost, Carter Augustine, and Roger Espinoza with us. And I thought we'd take a trip down memory lane because we got so many guys on the Sporting Kansas City team that have accomplished some incredible things in their careers. And obviously, Roger is one of those guys. Winning an FA Cup and also, of course, winning U.S. Open Cups, that's a pretty unique distinction for a player. And I've never really heard you talk much, Roger, about that FA Cup win. When you went to Wigan Athletic, you guys got a 1-0 victory over Manchester City at Wembley Stadium in 2013. We know that that was the same year that Sporting went on to win MLS Cup. I've heard you tell that story about watching the MLS Cup, but let's go back to the FA Cup itself. First of all, just how would you describe the competition? I mean, in terms of maybe, you know, I know that in England, maybe it starts to ramp up in importance as you get deeper into it. But what was that run like for Wigan Athletic? How big of a deal was it to the community there?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you see the FA Cup here in the U.S. and, you know, it's a great tournament, but you see the later stages a little bit. And, you know, in England, when I got there, I even saw the magnitude even bigger, how people in your town and everybody just gathers for those games. But for us, you know, the early stages at the time, we play the first game was Bournemouth, and they're in the Premier League now. Mm-hmm. And they were a very good lower team. I think they might have been League One at the time. And we got to play. You know, if you tie in the FA Cup, if you tie, you go and play the away game. If you win that game at home, then you don't no longer have to play for a second game. So we had to play Bournemouth, which was the first team. And I just got into England. I've been there probably for, like, no more than a week. And the coach kind of tells me, like, yeah, we're going to probably have you train for a month, and then we're going to play you in a game, come as a sub probably. Well, the game, a week later, we played Bournemouth in the FA Cup, and he started me. And I'm like, oh, I thought you said we're going to wait a month. And he's like, no, this is a great opportunity for you to get in shape. So he started a lot of the guys haven't been playing that much. We ended up tying the game at Wigan. So now we had to go all the way to Bournemouth down south of England and play them over there. And we had a game in between weeks. So Wigan being a smaller team, you know, it gets very you don't have as many players as the big team, Man City, Man United. You have three teams in there. So we had definitely, didn't have many legs. We had a lot of tired legs. And we had to fly all the way south of England and pay them. And we ended up winning the game. And we just kept going, and he just kept switching the team. So there was games that I had to play in the Premier League that I didn't play in the FA Cup. So he just kept switching teams. And when he got to later stages, that's when he started playing the more starting team. And it was difficult because we were also fighting for relegation. Being a lower team in England, that's the case most of the time. And so that got very difficult, but we still kept doing well. We went to later stages until we got to play Everton at Everton. And we knew that was the quarterfinals at the time. And if you go to the semifinals, that's when you start playing semifinals at Wembley. And being from a small town in England, where Wigan is from, north of Manchester, the whole town wants to go to Wembley. That's like going to Madison Square Garden in America and playing there any NCAA tournament or any NBA games or any concerts at the end of the day, or even bigger over there. So everybody at Wigan just started putting all the pressure on the players that, hey, we want to go. And half of the stadium at Everton, which is about 20 to 25 minutes away from Wigan, was all Wigan fans. We ended up winning the game 3-0. And in the semifinals, we were able to play, it was Millwall. And Millwall fans, I can tell you right now, they're not the nicest fans. So Wigan fans were definitely not excited that we had drawn them, because there was going to be fights all over the stadium. They're known for the club that gets in trouble in England most of the time. I think there's a movie, Hooligans.
Pretty much.
And so about Millwall, they're ruthless people, ruthless fans, and which is great. They support their team, but sometimes it gets into a lot of violent events. So we had to play them in the semis, which at the same time, Everton being a Premier League, a mid-table team, seems to be a lot harder than what Millwall, which was in the Championship at the time. But we didn't get the tougher draw, which was, I think it was Man City and Arsenal in the other semifinals. So we were glad we didn't get that one. We thought we had a bigger chance to get to the finals. And yeah, that was the case. We played Millwall. I can't remember if we beat them in the regular game or if it was overtime, but it was 1-0 the game. And Man City, as we know, ended up beating Arsenal. I think it was in the semis. And we were scared at the end of the day. You know, hey, we got Man City. And I think about a few weeks later, we were fighting relegation, and we knew we were in the finals. And after the finals, we had to go to Arsenal. And that was the last two games of the season. And we had in the finals. And you also had to win the 3 days later the game against Arsenal at the Emirates Stadium. But let's get to the finals. Finals is that we couldn't believe we were there. We knew that we were going to play a very tough team. But at the same time, we were playing amazing. As at the time, Wigan was one of the teams that everybody liked watching in England. A lot of possession game. We played, most of the games we dominated in possession, but Man City did too. But props to our coach, Roberto Martinez, who knew tactically how to play Man City the whole week, pretty much put the game down to us and said, hey, listen, this is how they're going to play exactly. If you do this, you're going to win the game no matter what. He ended up playing 3-5-2. And I was actually playing as a left wing. The whole season, pretty much, I've been playing as a midfielder. And this game somehow said, hey, you're going to play against Milner and Navas here, and you're going to push up high and pressure Milner. And that way you keep them back there and they don't push up high. The whole game, we played a pretty good possession game. Went to double overtime. Ben Watson, who's been injured the entire half of the season with the broken leg, got back just for that game pretty much. You know, just I think it must have been his first game playing. They put him in as a sub.
Wow.
Last corner kick of the double overtime. He just got subbed, I'm pretty sure. He just got subbed, and it was a corner kick, and I can't remember who hit the corner kick. I can't recall, but went in and just hit it in, and it was like a minute left. Ended up winning the game, and it was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I don't think I ever had talked about it before, like you're saying, Nate. It's the first time I'm talking about this game. Usually soccer just goes so fast that, you know, you get the chance to talk about it. I mean, the season finished. I had to go to a national team, and it was just, you never really talk about it. Soccer just keeps going, and then the off season, I don't want to talk to anybody. I just want to go on vacation. So this is the first time really we are talking about this, but the euphoria of the celebration, all those 3 days was crazy. I don't think the town, the ownership, they didn't care if we got relegated. At the end of the day, we knew they just wanted to celebrate, and it's the biggest thing that the club has ever accomplished, and not many clubs in the English Premier League or second division or third division have accomplished. So definitely Wigan is going down in history of one of the teams that has won, especially one of the biggest upset in English football that gets to win that tournament. So yeah, that's pretty much the recap. It went pretty fast, but yeah.
I've got false, but I don't want to hog it all. So, Ali, what do you got?
Well, I just want to know, because you talk about this fan base, and, you know, you've only ever played for Sporting Kansas City, but how would you compare that fan base and that celebration to others that you've seen, whether that be the Chiefs Super Bowl parade, the Royals winning the World Series, and, I mean, you weren't here when Sporting won MLS Cup, but how would you compare, just so fans listening can try to get an idea of what it was like celebrating with that fan base?
Yeah, technically it's winning the Super Bowl in England. It's just that England is a lot smaller country and the population is a lot smaller too. So Wigan winning is not a big town, but it was 1,000 people in the celebration. We just do it a little different. It's a double decker bus. The top is off, it's convertible top pretty much, if you say, and all the players are on the top and you just going in the bus, and people just lines off the streets of Wigan. And celebration lasted for a few hours and even days to come. But yeah, I mean, if you compare, it's a little bit like the Super Bowl of England. But it's kind of hard because you also have the Premier League there. But this is the oldest tournament in the world, I think. And it's something that English people takes very serious. The FA puts a lot of money, a lot of thought into it, and yeah, it's crazy. It's people still Wigan. I mean, every day I get tagged about something. Every time it comes up, every time I get tagged into something, text from friends, you know, or Wigan sends me text, people from the staff all the time. You know, we definitely went down in history, and it's always be remembered. For a town that's very small. It's technically, you know, it's different here, but you have a professional team in Kansas City and Lee Summit, Overland Park, and north of the river, and that's how it goes. And it's just competition between all these teams. And so Wigan is definitely always remembering all the other cities about that, because it's very hard. I mean, you only have Liverpool and Man City, Man United, Arsenal, Chelsea. You can only name a few big teams that have won this.
Yeah, like you said, it's going down as one of the biggest upsets. You're right. It is the oldest competition. That was the 132nd edition of the FA Cup. That's pretty incredible. Okay.
I didn't even know that.
Quick question. Have you seen on Netflix The Beautiful Game, I think is what it's called?
I have not.
It's about the FA Cup and the start of the FA. It's I watched it. It's, I think it's the creators of Downton Abbey. So it's a little dramatic. I haven't seen Downton Abbey, but I have a feeling this is pretty much, there's a lot of love in it as well. But the soccer part was pretty cool. And with your FA Cup background, I think you might enjoy it.
I'm definitely going to watch that now. I mean, I have a lot of time.
I want to go back to that, to the upset part of it. And just to the game itself, I'm going to read off some of the players that played for Man City on the day. Joe Hart in goal, but Pablo Zabaleta, Vincent Kompany, David Silva, Yaya Toure, Samir Nasri, Sergio Aguero, Carlos Tevez. What do you remember kind of about your matchups individually on the field and maybe seeing the team sheet and maybe just walking out at Wembley with a full crowd for an FA Cup final, like you said, one of the biggest days in the year in England?
Yeah, you just remind me of something. It's actually Zabaleta as a right back, and Milner came in as a second half sub from Navas. I couldn't remember much watching other FA Cups, and I didn't remember the whole thing that goes in the background. So, I mean, you can't really tell some in the locker room stuff, but the whole setup, getting to the stadium and just – there's no games in England at that time. The only game in England at the time is just the FA Cup. So the entire country is pretty much watching you, and that's why I said earlier, is it like the Super Bowl, because it's the only game going on in England, and they set it up that way. So everybody watches this. I mean, the royal family is there, so you get to shake everybody's hand at the end of the game if you win. So I got to shake the entire royal family, so hand at the end and lift the trophy, right? But leading up to the game, I mean, just walking out, and they put the red carpet, and you walk out to the field, that whole thing is so emotional. And on the side that we get to face the fans, it was the side where the Wigan fans were at. So that was great. And behind us was the Man City fans. So all you could think is just, oh, this is just Wigan people here. So it's great. You get to see them and you feel like you're playing at home pretty much. And I just remember that in England, there's no national anthem. There's nothing. You just get out to the field and you play. You don't have time to think. You just get out there right away and referees call you and you take the picture and it's quick. And it's just probably 2 minutes and you're out playing. So you don't get time to think and get nervous. You just start the game. The matchups, yeah. So like I was saying, I was playing as a left wing pretty much. So I had we were playing with the line at three. So I pretty much had a center back protecting me all the time. So I was free to go up high and pressure Zabaleta. And Zabaleta is a guy that loved going up high, and Navas like to go inside. So that created a lot of difficulties for the guys in the middle, because Man City overcrowded in the middle all the time. And so by me pressuring up high to Zabaleta, and that's why I think I played that position, because he wanted a more defensive type of player, but also can attack the coach. So me going to Zabaleta the entire time, I kept him up there. So our center back only had to worry if they hit the ball over the top over me, then he was there to protect me. He ended up being that way. The game ended up playing that way. And the center back ended up pretty much shutting down Navas, Jesus Navas, which he was at the time probably the best right midfielder in the Premier League. And so they subbed Milner, which was a harder worker than Navas was, but didn't have the type of skills as Navas. And that created a little difficult for me. So I had to drop a little bit. But by the time I had to drop already, Zabaleta was already a bit tired, a little winded. And that's when we were able to figure out the game. And vice versa on the other side, Clichy for Man City, who was a more defensive left back. We put a young guy who was unbelievable, who was up and coming, 19-year-old for Wigan, who was fast and very skillful. And the other guy on the other side, I think, might have been either Kun Aguero or Tevez. And so that made Kun Aguero defend a little more. And that's how we were able to, you know, tactically, their front three, which was Kun Aguero, Tevez, and was it Kun Aguero, Tevez. Nasri was in the game, yeah, and Nasri. That created a lot of trouble, but they had to defend a lot of the game, and that ended up helping us more. And I think the game was broken down there on the sides from that point of view. And, you know, I think that's what gives us the victory at the end of the day. But the matchups were there, and, you know, props to our coach who was able to see the game from that perspective. And, you know, it's a pretty interesting game. I never have watched the game. I only watch highlights, but I want to watch. Every time I ask for the tape of Wigan, they said, yeah, we'll send it. They only send, like, clips, but they never send the actual game. So, Nate, find that game for me.
Yeah, we'll get on that. Nate. Yeah, we got to find that.
Get him a full game record.
I want to watch that whole game, and I want to see if you put any good tackles on Samir Nasri, because he might have been my most hated player in England for a long time. I did not like him at all. So,
remember, he was an unbelievable player, yeah.
Did you get any tackles in on him, do you remember?
Are you an Arsenal fan or something?
Yes.
That's why.
Yeah.
That's why. Yeah, no. I think he was on the other side. He never came to my side, really. I was mostly also defending Silva, who was in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because he was coming on my side a lot. They're trying to overcrowd our side. And I tackled him a few times. Some battles with Milner. Navas was more a guy that wanted to dribble you and pass and do 1-2, so it was hard to get to him. But he wasn't on my side as much. But yeah, I got to watch the game again.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to think
about
it.
A long
time
ago, man.
Yeah.
One of the highest points of contention when talking about this game, though, is that the goal actually came after Pablo Zabaleta had been sent off for a second yellow card. Do you remember that? How do you feel about that decision? Was it as controversial as you may have thought it was in the moment? What was your take?
If you watch the game, that's a red card, 100% red card. It should have been a straight red, I think, but he already had a yellow card, and I think he could have gotten yellow cards earlier in the game too, and would should have been off sent off. But, I mean, we were all into the game and we didn't care what the referee's calls were. We were just playing the game and we were not going to worry about the referee. He gets a red card late in the game. And that definitely made him make some changes. Him being a right back made some changes into the game. And we definitely had some opportunities to finish the game. It didn't happen. He came in a corner kick. At the end, but yeah, good call. I totally forgot that he had gotten a red card, and actually has been one of the good players, bright spots for their team, and that definitely hurt them a lot. I think I made him tired, and both teams were tired at the end of the day, but you lose one guy, even if there's 5 minutes left, it's definitely gonna hurt you. And in the corner kick, they're definitely outnumbered, and we were the team that wanted the most at the end of the day.
Last question about the FA Cup before we get to Carter's goals to Google for you. You mentioned getting to shake the hand of the royal family. So I'll admit, I'm not a big royal family guy. I don't really understand the whole fascination with it, but my wife is into a big time. Like whenever like one of the royals gets, I don't know what happens to them when they get knighted or you know, they become a whatever that happens to them. My wife and her mom put on the hats and they watch it on TV. They get super excited about that stuff. And she tells me that there's all these rules about how you are or are not allowed to address the queen when you can't talk to her. She has to talk to you first. Did they give you any rules or anything like that? Or is just like, hey, go up and shake hands with them. How did that go down?
No, they didn't give. We just started going up the stairs. You know, you go up the stairs like a little and you come back the other side. But they're just waiting for you in line right there. And you just pretty much shake everybody's hands on the way up. I mean, you get to shake the royal family, some other important people, some other important figures in English football. Past FA Cup winners, FA Cup presidents. And no, they didn't give you any rules of how you should do this. You just shake the hands. You just make sure you just take the hand, you won't go strong on some people and go strong on other people. You're just so excited. You don't know. You've been hugging people. You know, I was hugging everybody.
Yeah.
I was just excited to get up there. Yeah.
Hey, if you win the FA Cup, maybe all the rules go out the window. You know, you're an FA Cup champ at that point. Carter, you've got this idea. I think it's great. We're going to be talking about it ourselves too. So how about you fire off? We'll let Roger be the first one to give us something to do here, some homework.
All right. Yeah. Let's start off with a good one, Roger. No pressure. Just kind of, we're all sitting at home and hoping everyone is well, but thinking of some ways to spend some of our time. And I think everyone's got, I mean, what's better than a highlight in soccer than a goal highlight? And I think everyone's got some favorites over the years. So I was thinking of compiling a list of goals to Google for people. And it can be one from your career, or it can just be a favorite one, but maybe just give us a goal and why it's significant to you. And let's see if people go and Google it, check it out.
Well, there's definitely plenty of goals. Lucky enough to remember, let's see, about 4 World Cups I watched, and there was a lot of goals, Champions League and some tournament throughout the years, international tournaments. And shoot, I'm a left-footed, so I'm always loving when left-footed guys score some nice goals. So a goal that I would always remember, I was watching this game, and this is probably the 2 best national teams at the time. They actually ended up playing against each other in 98 World Cup finals, which is between France and Brazil. But I'm not sure, it was a year earlier, and Roberto Carlos hit a free kick, I don't know, almost 40 yards out. It looks like it's 40 yards out. And he hits it with almost the outside of his foot. And you can see like the gravity of the ball going out and somehow just comes back in and scores this unbelievable goal. Many people won't remember, many people weren't born. Many people weren't watching soccer as much in the United States. But if they get to see this goal, it's an unbelievable goal. The other goal that stuck to me, it was a Champions League final. And it was actually an assist by Roberto Carlos. So here you go. It's an assist by Roberto Carlos. And the goal was scored by a right-footed with his left. And it was a volley by Zinedine Zidane against Leverkusen in the Champions League final. Mm-hmm. Zinedine Zidane's technique was better than anybody in the world at the time. It's probably one, a few people that can do that right there. And he did it with his not strong foot, which was his left. And it was an amazing goal. And those are goals that stuck to me. But there's unbelievable goals that, I mean, you can argue too, when Maradona in the 86 World Cup, when he dribbled up on the middle of the field all the way and score. There's Forlan's goal in the World Cup in 2010, I guess. I mean, I was in that World Cup, but I can't remember if it was 10 or 6.
South Africa.
When he chested and then he volleyed it. So those are some goals to remember. But yeah, definitely those two that I said earlier are goals that stuck to me.
All right. Well, hey, Roger, thank you so much for the time. We really appreciate it. And, keep enjoying those jogs down to the crossroads and back. And hopefully we'll be talking Sporting Kansas City season soccer when we get back with you here pretty soon. That's going to do it for us on this edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show. We're going to keep doing this. You get to watch it on video now. You get to listen on Sports Radio 810 WHB as well. And we'll see you next week.